I'm certain item, please, is number 177, please.
Amend the fiscal year 2019-20 budget and authorize construction financing in an amount not to exceed $2,177,000 to DePaul Treatment Centers or affiliate to construct a new treatment facility at Southeast 102nd Avenue and Southeast Cherry Blossom Drive.
Very good. Good morning, everyone. In the fall bump, as you'll recall, council allocated general fund dollars to the DePaul Treatment Center to help increase the capacity of the treatment beds in our community. This new development, which you'll hear about shortly, will ensure new opportunity for those with addictions to receive both residential and day treatment programming. And our contribution, which now includes additional resources from the Portland Housing Bureau, will ensure that a portion of those beds will be affordable. I want to thank the DePaul Treatment Center, Gerding Edland, and the Gateway community for their incredible vision related to this project. I'll now turn it over to Director Callahan, who's not here, so I'm turning it over to you guys, and you'll sort it out for me. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioner.
I'm got Molly.
Molly Rogers, the Deputy Director of the Portland Housing Bureau. I'm here standing in for Shannon Callahan, who will be
Molly.
Here today. I am delighted to introduce Marie Wacker, who's the CEO of DePaul Treatment Centers, and Carly Harrison, who is Development Manager at Gerding Edland. They're the development consultants working on the project.
Great. Marie, Carly, thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Just this is a rendering of what the new facility is going to look like on 102nd and Southeast Cherry Avenue. There will be a total of 70 adult treatment beds provided in this new facility. 24 of them will be medically withdrawal management beds. And additionally, we'll be paired with a 80-person day treatment facility that is expecting to serve almost 1,000 outpatient clinics a year. This is a rendering of the courtyard view, which includes community gardens and beautiful residential and outdoor community spaces that is meant to be a healing place. We have many partners, and we're leveraging many resources in this project. PHB's resources will support 10 of the 70 treatment beds. Those will be regulated to be affordable for households earning less than 60% of area median income, and those will be regulated for a period of 60 years. Where the $2.2 million is leveraging about another $20 million or $27 million of other resources from DePaul Treatment Centers, as well as New Market Tax Credits, other private leveraging, and other private donations to make the project work. And I'm just going to turn it over to, I believe, Carly.
Sure.
And Marie, if you want to share anything about the type of folks who are coming into the treatment center, what are they experiencing, any of the demographics you can share, the
sure.
program, the services.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler, members of the
you
council.
You can feel free to move that closer if it's more comfortable.
So first of all, I want to express our deep appreciation for the city's support in making this project happen. We simply could not do it without all of you, and in particular the mayor's office, Kristen Dennis and other members of that team, and Director Callahan and her team as well. We are expecting to serve over 5,000 people for addiction treatment, co-occurring mental health services. The majority of our individuals have an alcohol addiction, about 50%, another 40% opioid use, and the meth piece of the business is definitely increasing in terms of people's addiction, which is unfortunate given its potential long-term impacts on their physical health and their mental health. About one-third of our patients are homeless when they come to us, and everyone who graduates and completes the program, we make sure they have a place to go to when they leave, as well as we've offered job, attaining a job and those kinds of other skills as well. And about almost a third, about 28% of our patients come from communities of color. So we are very excited to bring this project to the community. In addition to the treatment services, we will have a new endeavor, which is about community education. So we really have plans to offer speaker series, small community gatherings on a bi-monthly basis on different topic areas in addiction and prevention, and we hope to provide a greater community resource that will help educate and reduce the stigma related to this disease.
Commissioner Fritz, then Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you for being here. Yes. Is it for men and women?
Absolutely. Yes.
Thank you.
And I'm assuming the demographics are going to change radically based on the community that you are moving into. And so I'm curious about how staffing is going to reflect the needs of this very diverse community that speaks about 52 languages, and which is a lot different from your former location. Yeah. And let me just say, I am thrilled. This is my neighborhood. I am so thrilled. I can't wait. We desperately need this in East Portland. But I am concerned that that without staffing that really reflects the community you're now going to serve, that we may not be as effective as we need to be.
I thank you for your question. Currently today, about a little over one-third of our staff are from communities of color. We have several other than English speakers on our staff, but I would wholeheartedly concur that the opportunity to build even deeper resources in those areas is something that this organization will be and is focusing on.
And you said that you people who successfully complete your program have housing at the end.
Yes.
Is this housing that's housing that they can afford, permanently afford to live in, or is this housing that they're still going to be housing insecure a month later?
I don't know that I can fully answer that question. I can tell you that we are in the position lots of times that we are paying first month's rent in order to stabilize them, and they have had an opportunity about 30 days before they graduate to work and save. Most of the housing is Oxford housing. We have other partnerships with Central City Concern, Bridges to Change, and other entities that provide housing services.
I didn't know we had Oxford housing in Portland.
We have a lot.
Do we have a lot?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, we got to talk. I got to learn more about what's in my own community. Thank you.
Yeah. Are there any other questions?
I have some broad questions, and these are entirely unfair questions, and you may not have the answers. But I spend a good portion of my day and my evenings talking about addiction. And as you indicated, this is predominantly focused on alcohol addiction, substance abuse. But as I'm sure you're keenly aware, we're seeing more drug addiction in our community. Mm-hmm. We're seeing more of our houseless population becoming addicted to meth and other substances. And there are times when it feels that our system is being overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. If you were Czarina, advice would you give us as we, amongst other communities up and down the West Coast, are struggling with this increased preponderance of substance abuse and addiction? Where do we start in terms of getting our arms around this issue?
The first things I would offer are that we need to embed addiction treatment services, peer mentors, and others like that inside of those organizations serving that population. We know, as you suggest, that many of these individuals are facing the disease. and we can make a great deal of effort by making it easy for people to access services and understand and not be afraid to get help that they need. So that would be one. I think in the schools as well, we have the resources right now to provide only one counselor in Benson High School. And at the same time, we believe that person has way more work than and kids wanting help than she can help. And oftentimes they want help without their parents' knowledge. So insurance cannot be accessed to pay for it. So the more resources we can provide to helping kids in schools who are definitely seeking that help, I think is a good resource as well.
And when people come to you, they are not exclusively addicted to alcohol. Some also have other substance abuse
Absolutely.
Issues. And what is your success in treating people who have other substance abuse issues other than alcohol?
I do not know that statistic in particular. Our overall completion rates exceed national averages. The national average is about 47%, and we usually hit around 55-52% in terms of completion rates. I can provide that information.
Has your demographic shifted at all in recent years, or has it remained relatively stable? How has it changed, if it has?
What we are finding is that individuals have much more severe mental health needs. And so it is no longer a usual or typical patient that only has an addiction issue. About 75% of our patients have a co-occurring mental health disorder. We are seeing an increase in the SPMI population.
Which population?
Seriously and persistently mentally ill.
Thank you.
And those individuals are seeking treatment, which has caused us to increase our programming for people who have an acute either mental health or physical health need, because those are the individuals that are going to hospital emergency departments for care. And we can provide a much more cost-effective way to help those individuals. And what's even cooler about that is those individuals who typically would just keep returning to the emergency department are graduating treatment currently at a higher rate than individuals who are not coming out of hospital emergency departments.
Thank you. Now I'm going to ask you the ultimate unfair question, but it was a question asked of me over breakfast this morning. Mm-hmm. And I gave my answer, but I'm curious to know what your answer to the question
Sure.
would be. The gentleman asked me why it seems that there is an increasing prevalence of mental health issues in our community. What is driving it? Do you have a sense?
I have several theories, but I couldn't say for sure, no.
Thank you.
I think
Commissioner Fritz.
If I might comment on that, I think
yeah.
people are now talking about it, whereas before it was definitely something you didn't talk about and you didn't admit, you didn't ask for help.
Yes.
And then even if you did, you can't get it. So I really appreciate the work that you're doing. I did have a follow-up question, but it's completely gone out of my head. Oh, yes. You're still fundraising for this project?
We are. We are trying to identify an additional $1.4 million.
And if somebody is watching this television show and wanting to donate, how would they do that?
Please contact me, Marie Wacker, at DePaul Treatment Centers.
And what's the website?
It is depaultc.org.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Commissioner Hardesty.
I had a question about alcohol detoxification. I think over the years we've learned some lessons about what you do when someone is suffering from alcohol poisoning. Can you tell us what the current best practices are when you are trying to detox someone who is overexposed to alcohol?
Well, I would tell you that detoxing from alcohol can be, and it often is, life-threatening. We provide detoxification with medication so that the effects of the withdrawal from the substance are not is severe. The other thing would be that we can observe them, and, you know, lots of times there's DTs, which are...
Delirium tremens.
Yes, thank you. I have a hard time even saying it. So they have... So the best practice is really to get them into a medical treatment facility that can offer those really important transitional drugs.
Thank you for that, because I asked you that question very selfishly because I know Central City Concern has stopped their Hooper contract, and they did it very intentionally because they also have learned over 30 years that just putting somebody in a cell to detox them was not best practices that we've garnered over the last 30 years. And so I'm appreciative to understand that there has to be a medical component to detoxification, and it should not be just assuming that somebody will sleep it off, right? And then somehow be quote-unquote normal when that's over.
That's correct.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that being on the record.
Very good. Thank you. This has been a good conversation. We appreciate the work you're doing. We'll hear from public testimony now.
What's groundbreaking?
We have three people signed up.
Oh, wait. Did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, I'm Carly Harrison. I work with Jill Sherman at Girding Evelyn, and we've been partnered with DePaul and Marie here for the last several years helping them, and we're just really grateful to be here today and get to have groundbreaking soon. It always takes a village to pull these kinds of high community impact projects, notably on the financing side, but really all the partners involved. So thank you to Mayor Wheeler and the commission. So thank you.
So Carly, you're in charge of the development of the project, is that correct?
Yes,
and with
Jill Sherman.
Along with Jill, of course.
Correct.
And you represent an entire team. The schematics are stunning. And if you know the facility that DePaul is currently in, and you compare it, to, I mean, the facility is amazing in and of its own right, but when you compare it to the status quo, it's actually spectacular. And I want to thank you for working with this great team and really putting something forward that not only beats the adequacy test, it really is something to be proud of. It's really phenomenal. I think it's going to be a great vision for the future.
Yes.
It sets the bar very, very high. So thank you for that.
Thank you. That was our aim.
Very good. Thank you.
And I'm sorry, did we hear when groundbreaking is anticipated?
April 23rd.
April 23rd.
You should have an invitation. If not, it'll be there shortly.
I haven't had it yet, but I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks
Since it's in my hood.
Appreciate it. Now we'll hear from public. You cool your heels for a while, and we'll hear some public testimony. And I'm sorry, Carla, who do we
here,
have signed
Shedrick
up?
Wilkins,
Shedrick,
Lightning, and Maggie.
Very good. Come on up.
I'm Shedrick Wilkins. I like beer too much, and I consider myself an expert on this topic. Number one is when I was homeless for a year in 2011 and 2012, when I went to City Team Ministries, if they breathalyze you, if you have alcohol, you're out on the street. And I really don't want to freeze in the cold weather and be drunk. Another thing, too, was at Bud Clark Commons as well. I spent 6 months there. If I drank, I'm out on the street. And plus, I would lose my spot at the Bud Clark Commons, okay? Number two is when I was studying at PSU University, I had to get drinking down to 1 day a week. I had to take four classes at the same time. Alcohol works two ways. It stops you from worrying about things, but I have to worry about a test, right, and study. Okay, that's the thing, right? Also, people think that alcohol makes them more creative. I'm not too sure about that. I really think it's once a week is pretty good. And another thing is to, my son's 24, and I took him on the submarine at OMSI. He didn't ask one question. My son's 24, I'm 62. You can't drink on the submarine. So the Navy knows this. You don't want a bar fight in the submarine, but they did smoke a lot. They just smoked a lot on the submarine, but they never drank. And so the Navy knows this, that you don't want bar fights on a submarine, or you don't want a drunk crew or something having a party and they're attacked. So talk to the Navy. And The only thing good about beer, though, it has fluoride in it. If it's brewed in Wisconsin, but anyway, if you want to, and it's also an antiseptic. But anyway, yes, it has fluoride. All beer from Wisconsin is fluoridated, but Oregon's not. But another thing is, don't tell a dental hygienist that too. They don't want to hear how kids should drink beer, so they won't have cavities. Another thing too, I respect the DePaul trucks. Now I work for Target, and the DePaul trucks took food from our Target store to the food bank. So as I recall, so DePauls have trucks, and they provide that as transportation to the food bank, which is near the airport, the central processing area.
Thanks, Shutter.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Karma. I think the project is very good, very positive. Gerdine and Edlund are a class act. Anything they're involved with, to my opinion, will be exceptional. And as you can see by the layout and everything you see on this, it is going in that direction. My biggest concern is what the speakers mentioned is on the increase in meth use and the potency. And again, I'm hoping that we're going to start making comments on where the most meth is coming from and understand that you need to talk about that to prevent that from happening and the potency that we're seeing. And as you know, in some of these centers, the main concern is on the violence in the centers and how you're going to deal with that. And as you know, at the emergency room hospitals, when they were people were seeking help and they had the police called on them, arrested, taken down to the jail, and then transported to the state mental hospital. To me, that was absolutely appalling. But what we're beginning to see is more type of community type oriented centers, which I think falls back to the settlement agreement. And it is very positive. Again, on the supportive housing measure, will fit into that game also. Again, we need to still focus on more supportive housing being constructed. As Commissioner Hardesty stated, are they going to go into supportive housing? Are they going to be able to stay in supportive housing and not just keep circling through different centers? So again, like I say, on this project, very positive. I like what I see. I'll be watching it very close. And again, if that measure does pass, a lot of that money, I assume, can be directed toward these type of centers in the future and housing. And again, that measure is a $250 million ongoing sustainable money, which we've never seen before. Even on the affordable housing bond, that's not an ongoing sustainable income stream. So again, on the mental health side and the addiction services, we should see in the next 6 months to a year some amazing things happening, which is beneficial for the people and for their recovery and for them sustaining a life in which they can live in a housing unit, supported, and maintain that housing. And that's the key, is to maintain that housing, because these centers are less effective unless they can get into that housing and stay there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning, Maggie, Portland Homeless Town Hall. You know, different types of populations become addicted for different reasons. You've got athletes, you've got senior citizens who get hip and knee replacements, you have college students, you've got the mentally ill. You know, there's plenty of mentally ill people who are not addicted to drugs, who don't take drugs. There's a variety of reasons, but In all the reasons of addiction, you know, we call these centers, these drug treatment centers in St. Vincent de Paul, you know what we call their motto? We're here for you until the money runs out. And they cycle them on and off the street. Okay, so that's what we refer to St. Vincent de Paul treatment centers. So the insurance runs out, they end up back on the street, they go back to doing drugs. They go back in, they get treated, the insurance runs out, they go back on the street. So This is going to be no different. They're just building another treatment center and doing things the same old way they did it before. So as Lightning says, if you do not have the permanent supportive housing component, then, you know, you're not doing anything different. Okay, so as far as permanent supportive housing, it's like you can look at the different populations and ask yourself or the medical community, what kind of supportive housing do they need? Obviously, you know, somebody who is severely schizophrenic needs a certain type of supportive housing. Somebody who's, you know, maybe bipolar needs a certain type, you know, you've got to tailor the services to what is going to help them function. And the way to do that is to ask them. And, you know, I meet people out on the streets who are schizophrenic or bipolar who have left SRO housing because it was so horrible. You cannot provide housing that is so horrible like shelters and SROs. These people will leave and they will go back out and sleep on the street, okay? I meet schizophrenics on the max who spend their money in hotels, and when their money runs out, they go take the max out to the end of the line and sleep on the street because they cannot be in a shelter. They're too, you know, it's too stressful. So, you know, the anxiety is at the bottom of this, you know, for them not, you know, as this gentleman said, you know, to staying clean and functional.
Yeah, Maggie, if I could reflect on that, because you make some really good points here. And first of all, I think we have to acknowledge that DePaul Treatment Center is one part of the continuum of care. And you're challenging us to go beyond just the treatment piece and talk about where do people go after they're done with the treatment piece.
To
where is
stay
the housing?
Functional.
Where is the supportive housing?
Right.
How do we ensure that they don't just come back onto the streets or fall back into a cycle of addiction?
Mm-hmm.
And if there's one thing that gives me hope about our ability to address the homeless crisis, particularly as it relates to the most chronically homeless, those who've been homeless the longest, those who have coexisting conditions, whether it's addiction or mental health or disabilities or whatever, it is the system-wide commitment we're starting to see around answering your question, what's next? What happens once somebody comes in? Where do they go next? How do we ensure that 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, they're successful where they are? And I don't see that so much being the responsibility of the DePauls of the world. I see that being more our responsibility with the county and our other service provider partners to put the system together.
Exactly.
And to be honest, the system has been hellishly fragmented for a long, long time. But
yeah.
I'm starting to see the right leadership in the right place, the right partnerships, the right collaborations, and an understanding that this is a system. And if there's any piece of the system that's not holding up its weight, the rest of the system collapses under that weight. And so what you expressed is something I'm spending a lot of time thinking about. And I really appreciate your raising it.
Okay, I appreciate that you're thinking about these things. And, you know, because
I'm obsessing about it more than
okay, you know, because
yeah.
It's a dog pile, and I'm looking at the comments of all the people who are running, and I'm just going, you flunk. You didn't get it. Mm. You know, you're not getting it. You know, it's got to be these components.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you
for your perspective. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Very good. So unless there's anything else, this is an emergency ordinance. Carla, please call the roll.
Fritz?
Well, picking up on what Maggie just said, Mayor Wheeler, you get it. And you've been working really hard on this for 3 years and have looked at the whole system in partnership with Commissioner Sharon Myron at Multnomah County, new leadership there. In the first time in 12 years, I'm hopeful that we are starting to get more of a system with fewer gaps. Still, obviously, it's not, because we live in the United States where we don't have a system with no gaps and we don't get federal funding. But this is a huge part of the problem, the solution. Thank you very much to DePaul for your leadership in this. I'm delighted that it's going in East Portland. East Portland deserves nice places and nice facilities and nice services and good jobs. And so I hope that as you move forward to opening this center, expanding your staff, that you will be looking to local hiring, that Gertie Edelin will be looking at and using local sources. And not just Staples, as we found, you know. There's some real great local businesses in East Portland who could contribute to services to get this facility constructed. It's really ideal. My parents in love live at Cherrywood Village, which is just a little bit further down Cherry Blossom Drive. And so the location where you are, right next to Portland Adventist Hospital, where in beginning of January I got really great care, and I would recommend it to anyone. That's close by. The East Portland Community Center is close by. I hope that your clients will be encouraged to go avail themselves of the community center services. Alcohol treatment is not it's not covered by insurance in the same way, particularly when it's coexisting with mental health care. And it's been traditional ever since I've been working in healthcare in Oregon since 1986. It's been a challenge to find that insurance and the way to do it forward, and that's why DePaul is just such a vital part of this whole system. I know that Commissioner Fish is happy listening to this from the other side, knowing that this is a route to permanent supportive housing and that the permanent supportive housing is going to be there as well. So as was commented, it's really all coming together. So thank you, Mayor Wheeler. This was not at all easy to make this all come together. And you and your staff have really been very creative and also very fiscally responsible, working with Director Callahan, the Portland Housing Bureau staff, and the state of Oregon. Thanks to Mabel Clark McDonald Fund for making this project a reality as well. And as was mentioned, there's still a $1 million gap, so be sure to look into this program, because it's for everybody. It's not only for people who are homeless, it's for everybody. And so it's going to be a really fabulous facility that I think is going to be very much needed and very well run. Aye.
Hardesty.
I also want to add my appreciation to Mayor Wheeler. When I first got here, we were having conversations about this vision for DePaul Treatment Center in East Portland, in my neck of the woods. And after seeing the renderings, I'm just in awe. Everybody deserves a beautiful place, everybody. And so I am grateful, A, that there will be a community meeting hub, because that's one of the things we truly lack in East Portland, is a place for community members that is beautiful, that's not in a church basement, no disrespect to church basements, but something that actually can bring the sun in. This is a vital part of what we need to do to make sure that we're protecting our most vulnerable people. And I also want to be clear, 70 beds is not going to solve our problem of lack of mental health beds in the city of Portland. It's not even close to actually solving the problem, but it's one piece of the solution. My hat is off to DePaul Treatment Center for understanding that East Portland needed a facility like this. And as Commissioner Fritz said, it's just ideally located. It's just a win-win-win for the community. I also want to give a shout out to the financier, which I always call magic workers, because as someone who serves on the board of a nonprofit that provides very low-income housing for families, I know what it takes to put these projects together. And most of the time, there's a lot of prayer involved and a lot of sleepless nights and just not knowing until the bitter end whether or not all the dots are going to come together. So I applaud the creativity that goes into moving this project forward. Look forward to being at the groundbreaking. I am very happy to vote aye.
Hugh Daly.
Well, I want to express my appreciation for the critical work that DePaul Treatment Center does. And since we're making plugs and soapboxing this morning, I guess I'll just put in my plug for supporting and encouraging our regional partners and our state to meaningfully invest in homeless and housing services. One of the reasons we're seeing an increase in people with mental health issues and homelessness is that Portland and Multnomah County is the de facto service provider for the region, and we really need our neighbors to be able to serve their own community members so people can stay in their communities where they have the best chance of recovering and getting back on their feet, and so that we can begin to turn the tide on this really urgent matter. I've lost 3 family members to alcohol addiction and abuse. I feel incredibly fortunate to not face that challenge myself. But I know how vital it is, and I'm happy to support this. I vote aye.
Wheeler?
Well, this is a big step forward. I remember when just a few short years ago, we were pondering whether or not DePaul Treatment Center would actually continue to exist in our community. And the thought of losing all of these treatment beds at a time when the demand is growing seemed unfathomable. And I really appreciate, Marie, the work you've put into this, the work your board has put into this, and the other advocates who have been relentless in trying to move this vision forward. It's been great. And like lightning, I'm really pleased that Gerding Edlin is engaged in this project because they do exceptional work in the community. And frankly, you know, they're noted globally now. We want them to do more work right here in Portland, Oregon. So I'm glad to see them engaged in this way. And the Housing Bureau, I want to thank everybody for their hard work as well. The city was often pushing on this model because it was very important to us that if we were going to put public dollars into this model, then there had to be a benefit to lower income people to gain access to these same services. And so just to reiterate, the money that the city of Portland is putting into this project goes to the 10 beds that will be regulated at 60% MFI for a period of 60 years. And so, you know, our contribution is actually a relatively small portion of the overall contribution to this project, but I think it's a very important contribution because it opens up access for people who might not otherwise have access to these treatment opportunities. This is a great vision. I'm glad that the city of Portland was able to play a role. It's no surprise to anybody that this one is very personal to me. My father spent many years affiliated with the DePaul Treatment Centers. He'd be very proud of this vision. I vote aye. Thank you. The ordinance is approved. Good luck.
Thank you.